Welcome to the Project by Us podcast. I'm your host, Elliot Olumide. I'm just a basic Danish black man. I won't call myself Danish. I'm just a black man living in Denmark, trying to cover all relevant topics such as relationships, gender issues, religion, race, sports, and all other topics. You could find us on our Instagram page at the EST 1988 page, and you could also subscribe to the shows on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Breaker, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate any feedback, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help also. Be sure to try tuning in every 2 weeks. I'm looking to have topics or contents out every 2 weeks at the moment. Once again, I'm your host, Elliot Olumide, and welcome to Project by Us podcast. Okay, all right. Well, welcome, Hannah. So you're my first female guest.
Oh, I feel so honored.
Oh, you should be so honored. Like, and you know what triggered me? It was when you released that thing that's trending over TikTok. The how come you're not following me?
Oh yeah.
that you should follow me. I think that's what triggered me. I was like, I need to ask. Obviously, whether I could ask Hannah whether she could jump on to this pod and stuff, because I think like you have a very, from what I remember of you, that you are very culturally brought up.
Oh.
I do remember you was culturally brought up. You know, met your parents obviously, mm-hmm. and whatnot. So I just remembered that, and I believe that you are quite a feminist as well, but maybe not in the
traditional. Like, I don't know. It's weird. I would definitely like describe myself as a feminist. And to be honest, like, you are a feminist too. I feel like most people are at their core.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because if you really think about it, the definition of being a feminist is just that you believe in the social, political, and, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, economical equality of the sexes. And I think, like, who would disagree with that statement? Not really.
I think you'd have to be mad. I think you'd have to be mad to disagree with that statement loud, anyway.
Like, exactly.
Like, yeah, so, you know, so that's what, like, I just thought that Hannah's quite a traditional feminist and stuff, and also, how do I put it? You're obviously still a Christian, I assume.
Yes, I am.
I assume. So how does that play a role into...
Yeah. That's a really good question, because actually it does impact it. It really does impact it, because I think the way that the Bible is taught, especially African pastors, they have a way to just like make, like, I don't know, minimize the impact or the contribution of a woman.
Yeah.
So with my, like, I feel like I struggle with it sometimes, in terms of I'll hear them talking, I'm like, like, why are you doing that? Why are you putting, you know, gender roles into play? Like, you're here to preach, just preach. Do you know what I mean? But instead,
I get that.
They'll just be dropping little things like, you know, the woman should be, you know, cooking, cleaning, ironing. I'll just be rolling my eyes so hard that it's like it's going into the back of my head. Like, just chill with that narrative. Like, things have moved on so much, and you're still trying to ram it down people's throats. Like, this is how it should be, and actually, it's causing a lot of problems in the home.
Yeah. So, like, in terms of, like, obviously, you are Mrs. Smith, you know, more Nisa and stuff. So, like, when you was... not when you was. You're like three kids deep.
Yeah, I am.
You're actually like three girls deep as well.
What do you mean, like, three girls? I've got two boys.
You got two boys?
Yeah, I've got twin boys. Yeah, twin boys.
I thought you had two girls.
No. Prince Fem is not worry. He's got that good.
Okay. Why have I just dreamt that you've had like a twin, two girls, and a singular set?
Nah. So my daughter's five, and then I've got twin boys who are three.
Okay. Okay, how was childbirth? That must have been
Look at you taking us off topic. It was mad. What do you expect? It was crazy. But
No, because I was just, yeah, I'm going a bit segue, but like I'm always fascinated because I can never truly understand the gravity of what obviously women go through in such situations. Like I gave birth to my second one.
I know you told me that sounded traumatic.
I can't describe the trauma that no, it wasn't even trauma because I feel like there's some things that you kind of don't understand and you can never truly understand and you can never kind of get over, kind of thing. But I just remember in my head when it was happening in the lounge that I was screaming, but I don't think I was actually screaming, if that makes sense. Like my lips wasn't moving to scream,
That's
but
crazy.
I imagine myself screaming out the window like help, help, that kind of thing. But yeah.
And what you felt is probably just a fraction of what women feel as they're actually going through it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just
Yeah.
not. I mean, it's natural, but it's not. It's like a tiny hole in a, like, you know, something as big as a bowling ball is trying to come out. Like, it's just so unnatural. I remember when I was pregnant with the twins, like, it got to a point where they were just so big and so heavy in my belly that, like, I felt like they were crushing my spine. Like, I couldn't walk. Like, I was crawling at one stage to the
Oh
toilet just because it was so painful to
my
walk. And as you go through all of that, then they come out and they just start doing a madness, and you're like, I want to beat you.
goodness. No, it's mad. It's mad. Right. Let's get back to it, my little segue. I'm easily distracted as you can see. So, Hannah, like in terms of what do you understand of gender roles in not in so much society, but in terms of your society, your kind of village, your kind of home. What's gender roles to you?
It's a really good question, and it's tough for me because I feel like everyone has what people would describe as masculine and feminine energy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that you can just put people into buckets. Like, in some situations, I can have proper, like, feminine energy, like, you know, like what people would describe as feminine energy anyway. So, you know, like being caring, compassionate, wanting to, like, cook a meal, all of this stuff really shouldn't be attributed to, like, males or females. But when I'm operating like that, I feel like I'm operating in my feminine type energy. But then there's times where I'm proper what you would call masculine energy. Like, I can be savage, I can be thinking about finances, I can just, like, do you know what I mean, just being really cutthroat and not wanting to do things like ironing or cleaning or whatever. So I feel like everyone has that energy, and I feel like the only way that relationships work is when that energy is balanced. I feel like it's really hard to maintain a relationship where both of you are, like, always in that masculine energy space, or both of you in that feminine energy space. I feel like that balance is just needed. And for me, I think for a long time, I was just trying to, I think we're kind of raised to fit into our roles, right? So I think for a long time, I was really trying to be more of the fem like m have more of the feminine energy most of the time, whereas now I've accepted that I have both and I'm happy with both. And actually, the masculine, what people describe as that anyway, like, helps me in terms of, like, it's helped me with promotions at work, like the way that I present myself, like, even to the point that my hair is, like, cut. Like, I don't feel like I need weave or wig or whatever to feel more feminine. Do you get what I mean? I feel like I don't.
I do get what you mean.
Yeah, so I feel like it's been a journey, though, like, to be able to accept that there's two different parts of you, and actually to have a partner who can also, like, switch from time to time. I feel like where it becomes toxic masculinity is when guys think I can only be one way. Actually, you'll be a lot stronger as a person if you're able to tap into both. Do you know what I mean? Like, a guy who can, like, cook, clean, help out with the kids, as well as, like, be on top of business, do you know what I mean? Dick you down. Like, if you can do both, you're seen as, like, the perfect person. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do get
I
what
feel
you're
like it's just more effective.
saying. Yeah, just like where she was going off that, it's like especially like from a very Christian perspective, is that we attribute masculinity to God, but he also shows the feminine. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he also shows that side of it, and it's that side that we kind of don't talk about, but we kind of see him as some kind of
Exactly.
And it's so
Oh,
interesting.
you just hit the nail on the head. That's so interesting. I never looked at it like that.
Yeah, because I feel like it's kind of like I've been doing a lot of, since I've started this podcast, I've been doing quite a lot of reading, but lots of junk reading, if that makes sense. So I've been reading quite a lot of things, and it's quite funny that obviously, like we as Christians would see God and we see him as some kind of man, the man of the
Yeah,
house, and do you understand?
exactly.
And these are the kind, and these are kind of toxic mindset, because we only see God as one way, and we attribute it to kind of ourselves in a way that God is just all manly and all masculine, and but he also shows, like, in his loving and tenderness, he also shows
100%.
this deepness of feminine to himself and stuff. So
Absolutely.
it's kind of strange in itself that, I don't know. I don't even know what does it. I think more society kind of sways our mindset into who should act like what, and
Exactly.
what
And
should.
if we don't,
Yeah.
yeah, and if we don't check ourselves on it, we just like buy into that narrative. And I think for me, that's my biggest issue with some African churches, the fact that they're unable to separate what is like what's like core Christianity versus what's culture. Like they're just constantly mixing it to the point where they don't even know the difference anymore. Like there's things that you've probably heard, which are probably not even in the Bible, but because they've said it so much, you think that it must be in there somewhere. Do you
This
know
is
what I
it.
mean?
Yeah, no, this
And
is
I
it.
feel Yeah, so I feel like there's a lot there, but also like we have a lot of unlearning to do. Like even after you asked me to be on this podcast, and I was even thinking about how I felt about feminism, about masculine and feminine energy, I literally after like I think like a week after that, I was having a conversation with my mum because the kids are with my mum at the moment, and I remember saying to her, "Could you please teach Ariana how to cook while she's there, and can you get Levi and Leon to like help out with the gardening?" And it's like after, like literally after I'd said it, I think it was like a couple of hours later, I went back to the WhatsApp chat and I was like, "Actually, get them all to learn everything because why am I doing that? Like, why am I not encouraging the boys to also learn how to cook and Ariana not to know about gardening?" Do you know what I mean? But in my head, it was just like, it was just an idea that came into my head because that's how we've kind of been growing up. Like the girls need to know how to do certain things and the boys need to know, but actually they should all be learning everything because they're all important skills.
Yeah, no, I fully understand. Like, I think it's a case of that we've come from parents that have been engulfed in such tradition and way that the woman should do certain things and the man should do certain things, that we kind of indirectly pass it on to our kids. Like, you know what triggers me is, like, my partner here triggers me so many times when. And I know I shouldn't be tripping, maybe I shouldn't say this, but when, like, Noah, for instance, my youngest, sees, like, her high heels and stuff, and he looks at it and he wants to go for it, and I'm like, no, you can't pick that up. But, like, I know that it's so, it, like, it's not, like, kids are not even thinking like that, just thinking of their feet, you understand?
Yeah, that's your own mind.
Yeah, do you
Yeah,
understand? And I feel like it's so dangerous, and that's, like, literally how I've been brought up, in a sense. That's why I believe that, like, our kids would obviously, like, the gap from now to equality would be a lot closer with gender
Yeah,
with them,
100%.
because we kind of know how to kind of, we're doing a lot of unlearning, but also trying to teach them the right way
Exactly.
of thinking and
But I
stuff.
think with that, though, it's scary, right? Because it's exactly the same with me. Because the boys come after Ariana, she is like the classic girly girl. Like she doesn't like wearing trousers. Like she only wants to wear skirts and dresses, do ballet, like anything which she feels is even like she sees a football, she's like, oh, it's not that deep. Like she wants to be, doing other stuff. So she is so classically female that because they're after her, a lot of what they're seeing are female activities, right? She'll sit in front of her little makeup thing and be putting on lipstick and stuff. And my son Levi, he really like just follows her around. Like they were supposed to be the twins. Like he just follows her constantly. So what that means is that when she's trying to put lipstick on, then he'll be like, "Oh, I want some." And like everyone in my house, like we all just get up. We're like, "What are you doing?" And it's deep because he's not even thinking like that. And we know that he's copying her because even when she's on the phone talking, he'll be copying what she's saying and it's so annoying because it's just that echo. So he copies everything. It's got nothing to do with the fact that it's girl stuff. He just wants to copy her.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's annoying because she's so overly girly.
No, it's true. I think kids really expose that insecurities. In such a bad way. Like, I absolutely hate it. Like, I think one time I seen, like, Noah put on his mom's dress top.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it just triggered me, but I know I shouldn't even scream or make noise about it. I should just kind of just let him do what he needs to do and kind of thing. Because they're not even, they're like, as you said, they're not even thinking on that.
But then where's the line, you know? Because as parents, we do naturally want to protect them because we know what this world is like. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I always come back to, this is going to be, okay, this might be controversial, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I feel like in the Western world, people who, like, okay, guys who show feminine energy, when they are in school, like, you know, anywhere which is not home, right, and they're displaying those energies, the people around them will straight away label them as gay. But what I found is in Ghana, when I went there, and I lived there for a year, and I was seeing kids out there, like guys who had like a lot more feminine energy, and honestly, like, it was so normal, as in, like, they would describe themselves as straight, but if they were placed here, they would 100% be labeled as gay. So it just makes me feel like it's not necessarily a bad thing to have that feminine energy. It's just once the peer pressure comes and everyone's like, you're gay, you must be gay. Then I feel like it's like, okay, then I must be. It's like, I feel like some of them don't even get a choice to really just be like, do you know what I mean? This is just my personality.
I fully so agree to that. And as controversial as it may sound, I think a lot of people kind of agree to it as well, because as kids, when you're pushed into like a corner, you're like exiled from normal society because you're a bit different and stuff. Then you used to kind of start believing what you're being told. Yeah,
because if everyone who has this kind of personality trait is in this box, then I must be in that box too. And I'm trying to say that's everyone's experience, because obviously there's gay people who have very much masculine energy and they know that they like guys, and do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not putting everyone in that box, but I do feel like there is an element of peer pressure sometimes. Do you know what I mean? In terms of when that energy is displayed. But it's a really complicated topic, and it's hard because I don't think the gender norms are going to change anytime soon. But I think when people start to understand that, and I hate when people be like, oh, there's a scale, but it kind of is like everyone kind of has different, people just have different energies, and they just use that. And I feel like when you've got self-mastery of knowing when to have certain energies, like, that's when you can succeed in life. Like, I don't feel like it makes sense. Well, this is just me being myself, wives who do everything for their husband, like, it might work if you don't work and you're not bringing money to the table, etc., and you know your role is to be that housewife and taking care of the house, like, that is your job, and that is a very hard job and something that you should 100% be paid for. But when you're actually going out making all the money, and then your husband's also gone out to work, and then you both come home, and then he decides to sit down while you go and make food, I find that extremely disrespectful. You know what I mean? Like, it's like something's got to give. And it just takes me back to the, you know, the Harry and Meghan interview.
Where
when Harry said, like, I've got what my mum left me, like, that actually hit me on a different level. Because imagine if, like, and obviously his mom was rich, it's not like she was working or doing anything, but for all those women out there who are, like, not working, don't have their own money financially, imagine something happens and you can no longer, like, you've got nothing to leave your kids, like, you're at the mercy of your husband or your partner. For me, that's like such a scary position to be in, which is why I fight sometimes around these gender norms, because I'm such a big advocate of, like, what, like, just try and be a bit independent, especially when it comes to finances, and don't see that as a masculine role.
What do you work as?
I work in HSBC as a HR consultant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, HR consultant, so you, like, I suppose you deal with lots of equality things.
100%.
Lots of equality thing. Okay. Because I can see that just by, well, I can hear that. Just I can hear that just by what you're saying. So, but no, I seen that Harry and Meghan interview. And just a little segue again. I feel like everyone has their energy is misplaced, in my opinion. I feel like I don't know. I just feel like I have no issues. I couldn't care less about them too, particularly. I couldn't care about the monarchy, but I feel like everyone just has this whole "I've got to save the queen" mentality, and that's what I'm not. I feel that's what I'm grasping now, because I feel like the queen wasn't even put in a bad light. If that makes
At
sense,
all, at all.
that's what's kind of bothers me in that sense that.
But I think the reason why they're acting like that is because when they made reference to the firm and the institution, at the end of the day, the buck stops with the queen.
It
So,
does.
yeah, she's got all these people that are advising her, but you are taking the advice. Do you get what I mean? So, really, you can hide around it and say you went to a senior manager, you went to HR, whatever. But if the queen had been like, nope, that's nonsense, it wouldn't have been done. So they tried to protect her by bringing out the human side of her and talking about her in the context of being a grandma. But to be fair, every time they were talking about the firm and the institution, the buck stops with her. If something goes wrong at HSBC, like, and it's a senior manager who did it, it's still the CEO's going to get blamed for why did you let this happen? Do you know what I mean? So I
Facts.
feel like that's why they're still trying to protect the queen, but really they're just trying to protect the institution of what is the monarchy and how it's viewed, because what's going to happen now is just it's a domino effect. Like, people are gonna start saying that they want to leave the Commonwealth. Like, the power or the perceived power that they have, I feel like it is going to diminish a lot over the coming years, and it probably was going to happen anyway, but this is going to expedite it.
Yeah, I feel like it needs, I feel like it definitely needs to, like I was talking today about it, and I feel like this is like the oldest monarchy in the history of monarchies and stuff. I feel like it's time to like kind of like dissolve them amicably and just get them on their way, because I find them so pointless. I don't know what it is. I just feel like it's, and the idea of Commonwealth, I find that even more like problematic. They're
It's
all
insulting.
so sorry. I
You've
feel like,
enslaved us for
do you
years.
understand?
Like,
It's like
it's
some kind of
embarrassing.
gladiator thing, that they've enslaved us and then put us in this arena to battle it out, kind of thing.
Honestly, the whole thing is problematic, but I feel like they're not there for us. Like, they're there for the, English people of this country. They're people that they look up to. Like, these people will be breaking down. You've seen, like, Piers Morgan was willing to lose his job over it. Like, they, you know, so they're not there for us. We clearly don't care. But when the Queen or the Prince Charles or whoever it is goes to visit, these white people in the hospital, they are extremely happy, so they serve a purpose for a certain group of people and a certain group of people who are very indifferent. Like, I am not gonna like dance in the street if when the monarchy is dissolved. I don't care. Like, I literally just in a place of not caring. I don't love or hate them. I just don't care. Do you get
That's
what I
it.
mean?
No, that's fully it. 'Cause I'm like, I don't really think about them, apart from when Oprah is doing it. And I have beef with Oprah, to be honest, because
Everyone has beef with
I have
Oprah.
serious beef with Oprah, and I kind of get into it today, but I have so much beef with that lady. It's unheard of. But real. So, Hannah, you've been married for how long?
Seven
Seven
years.
years. Jesus Christ. 7 years of marriage. Like, how did you picture marriage to how it is in reality before you was married? How did you picture it, and does it match your reality?
It's a really good question. All right. So, how did I picture marriage? To be fair, I was young when I got married. I was like 23.
You wanted it to, you wanted bang bang.
I wasn't messing around. So when I got married, to be honest, I just thought it was going to be sex all day, every day.
Yes.
No. I'm gonna be really honest with you. I thought it was sex all day every day. So when I got married, and he was like, "What the flip do you think this is?" He was like, "Do you think I've got batteries? Like, what the flip do you think this is?" And it was like that was really deep, like to the point where like even friends would tell you, like I was like, I would literally be like writing in my diary and reading it out loud, like today Prince didn't have sex with me because he said he was tired. And he was like, "Are you dumb?" He was like, "We've done it like 5 days in a row. Like I need to sleep. Like this is not a joke. Like I have a job."
I actually don't think these women understand what this is to a man's body. I actually don't believe that he's not actually
Why are
understanding.
you making excuses? Why are you making excuses? I
That
was like,
it's not an
I was just
excuse.
so confused. I was confused. I was like, this is mad. Like, I don't get it. I actually don't get it. 'Cause do you know what? Do you know what as well with that, right? Before we got married, we did like 6 months of marriage counseling in my church. And basically it was every Sunday we would go to this church and there was like 30 other couples who were getting married in that year, and we were all kind of going through the like the different lessons together. And the way that they had sold, like when it got to like the sex aspect, they were like, "Oh, you know, if you're having sex, you know, 3 times a day, it means that, you know, your marriage is, you know, doing well. If you, like all of these stupid things, like, oh, you should be having it like with your meals, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner." Like they hype the ting, they hype the ting. So, and you know, like I'm not even someone who's like proper naive, so I don't know why I took that so literally to the point where I was like, why not? Like, if we're both there, we're together, we're in our own place, why can't we do it 3 times a day? Like, in my head, I was like, that would be quite lit. Like, this makes sense. Do you get what I mean? So I would be like, "Oh, Prince, come home." Like, because he was working, it wasn't too far from where our apartment was. And so I would be like, "Oh, come home for lunch," because I was working from home all the time back then when I was working for BT. So he would come home from lunch and I'll just try and jump him. And he was like, "I thought you had food."
You know what's so funny, and I think what's not talked about too often is who approaches who for because I feel like I've been in situations, little confession. I hope the missus don't hear this too often, but I've been in situations that I get asked, "Oh, how come you didn't make the first move?" kind of thing, and it's kind of like a strange. It's a strange
First move for
conversation.
what though? For sex
Yeah,
or just
like first move for second, because like you know some guys are not forthcoming with because it's the fear of like, "Oh, I'm not in the mood to do it." Do you understand? No guy wants to come and hear this. So most guys, we play a very long game in this situation. So we kind of like we go through these phases of little touch, little this, but sometimes I don't know. Like I always feel like there's always like this unspoken, who's actually making this move of to approach it, and I feel like it confuses the guy more because I feel like guys don't want to be told no. That might sound really cynical or really crazy in a sense, but I feel like it's the fit because guys are hardly Prince, you know, big up to him for saying no. Just
Probably, don't pick him up for that. But anyway, that's changed now. But boy, back then I was upset. Like I was actually upset. But I think it's a good point that you're making though, because this comes back to the gender roles around what women think are expected of them and what men think are expected of them. So I feel like with the sex stuff, I feel like from such a young age, like women are told to like suppress their sexuality. Because it's like, oh, you know, you have to keep yourself pure for a man. If you sleep with too many people, no one will want to marry you. Like, I feel like there's just so much there in terms of the pressure of you better not get pregnant, you better not get an STI. Like, it's almost like, oh, if you know you and your partner have sex, it's because you weren't strong enough. Like, there's a lot of that narrative around women. So I feel like then when they get into marriage, it can be a bit like, oh, like they don't even know what they like. They don't, they can't initiate. Like, it's the whole thing. I just feel like it's a mess. Whereas I think with guys from a young age, it's like, oh, like, have you had sex yet? Like, you know,
Yeah,
like you're trying to get your body count up,
that's it.
whereas girls are trying to keep it low. So it's like the whole thing is so unbalanced to the point where it's like now I'm questioning a lot of the decisions that I made. Do you know what I mean? But I think I couldn't have made any other decision based on the narrative that I was hearing and the kind of circles I was in and, you know, stuff like that. So I feel like it's a deep one. With the initiation, I would say like when I first got married, like I was proper, proper on it. But like you said, similar to how you're like, you don't like to hear no, it got to a point where I was like, okay, do you know what I mean? If you can't do it every day, let me know when you can. I'll be here. You know, so I feel like over the period of 7 years, we've got to the point now where it's just like I feel like we're probably having sex now more than ever because the communication is on point. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very clear if we're both tired, if the kids are doing a madness and he's worked long. I'm not, because before, regardless of the situation, regardless of the day, I'd be on it. I'd actually be on it all the time. And but now it's more like, do you know what I mean? It's more dynamic, it's more spontaneous, it's just more.
There's more of a conversation, there's more of a communication, a balanced communication to it and stuff. Because I
Yeah,
feel like it's all,
100%.
as you said, it's back to the gender roles of what we're like as boys growing up. When I think about it, it's just the pressure of you don't want to be called a frigid or a fridge.
Yeah,
Do you understand? Like,
yeah.
so if you're seeing a girl, then the boys are questions is kind of that. And I feel like society plays a role as well, because if a girl has high body count, or she has the same body count as a guy, she's labeled one way or the other, while a guy is kind of like, well,
Exactly.
he's allowed to do that. He's a guy, of course. So
Yeah.
we have this imbalance in itself. But I suppose if I think about it in itself, when I have a brother and a sister, and if they both go out like on a night out and stuff, I'm more checking on my sister. Jennifer, I'm more
But why? But why?
because I know what I'm like when I'm out, if that makes sense. Like, just like
Yeah.
every guy's confident in their own ability to spit the bars. Do you understand? Like, no matter what the girl says, like, I'm not that type of girl. Every guy believes that, I'm spitting these bars are gonna work. So
Yeah.
in my head, I'm thinking, yo, my sister could be like a victim of these bars that I someone's
Yeah.
recycling,
Victim.
someone's recycling my bars to my sister,
Yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like my brother, for instance, I don't like if he's out there doing work, then he's out there doing
Yeah.
work and I'll give him a high five. But tutus, my sister can't come to me and say, yo, I'm doing work. I was like, do you
Yeah.
understand?
But do you know what? I feel like that narrative is changing though. I feel like people like Cardi B, Megan, Nicki, like even Lil' Kim tried to start it with just raising the fact that women can be sexual too. So you're saying it in a way like, oh, you know, guys are giving bars, like she's naive and she doesn't know. Like there's a lot of girls, we know you're chatting crap, we don't care, we're actually just horny. Do you know what I mean? So it's a case of like how, I don't know, it's weird because I feel like times haven't changed enough for us to admit it, but it's one of them ones where I personally too would probably be worried if like my sister was out compared to my brother was out, but not from a sexual point of view, just from a safety point of view. Like if you look at what happened to the lady who was, you know, walking home and she just got whatever. So for me, it's more of a safety thing and the fact that girls can be really stupid. Like you can go out with a group of girls and then, you know, someone can get drunk and they can honestly just leave her. Like they don't care. Like I feel like sometimes girls, like, okay, not every group of girls, but there's some groups of girls who are literally stupid. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I feel like guys actually relatively have each other's back. Even if like the whole group doesn't have each other's back, I feel like when you have a close friend, it means a lot. Do you know what I mean? And they, and you know, they protect each
It's
other.
so true, because when I think about my, I'm gonna say a word, but it's not how it seemed. What in my predatory days of chasing back in the boiling boy days and stuff, like
Yeah.
when I seen a group of girls and I'm after one girl, or we've caught eyes and we're communicating in a very non-verbal way and such.
Yeah.
And if she's with a group of friends and I'm coming over to chat to them group, and they would just say, oh, are you gonna go home with him, kind of thing. But just,
Yeah.
and that's what, and I suppose that's where the not, because I could, again, I could be anybody, Jennifer, I could be anybody. And I suppose that's where it comes down to, like, I suppose guys don't have that. I suppose it comes down to guys don't have that fear in them that a girl's going to
do anything.
Do you understand? Do anything, because we have this ego that, you know, nothing can happen to us as such. And Jennifer,
exactly.
And I think it's,
but actually, on that though, do you feel like, looking back, do you feel like you've ever been sexually harassed or abused?
I think I have, but I've passed, you know, I think every guy has, but they've passed it on as okay, if that makes sense, because it exercises our ego in a very, which it shouldn't do, but it does, if that, because guy, I think with, I couldn't, okay, not guys, but myself, like, if when I go to, when I was working for city council, and one of the members go, oh, Elliot, you have real good arms, do you understand? And like, or you know, you have really nice legs, Elliot. That's perfectly okay in my ears. Do you understand?
Yeah, but is it?
But do you understand? But because I just see it.
If you reverse that and you said that to them.
Exactly. I suppose that's where the imbalance comes with it, because I just see it as like it's massaging my ego while she's worried that, what is he actually thinking? Do you understand with this? Yeah, because he's actually bigger than me and he could do X, Y, and Z to me, kind of thing. So I feel like I feel like every guy has been in sexually harassed.
Like, the amount of times would probably even shock you, because it's like the exact same things women will say. I've been sexually harassed, I've been sexually abused. Mm. Like, it's happened to guys. Like, honestly speaking, the amount of people, whether in this country or in Africa or wherever in the world, that when they were like 13, 14, even 8, 10, they've had like nannies who've made them lick them out, who've made them like finger them, like, and you'll be thinking, yeah, I was able to do that with my babysitter, whatever, whatever, but you were actually a kid. You were actually raped. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I think that's where the peer pressure in society kicks in, because boys lord it as some kind of like, oh yeah, I scored like a babysitter and it's kind of cool, etc., etc. But you've really just been abused, like, and you've got, like Jonathan, I feel like it's I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like it's so bad, but it's hard to in myself think of it as bad, if that means, because I've been engulfed in such way of thinking for so long that if I'm scoring an older lady and I know I'm not of a legal age, that's a score. I'm going to brag about it to my friends. But if a girl has vice versa and she was young, and I feel like, Jonathan, I feel like there is an imbalance in society that creates these what's normal for guys and what's not normal for girls and what's not normal for guys and what's normal for girls.
Yeah, but I think as parents, we need to do our best to try and reverse that. Like, for me, I'm going to be telling my sons, like, if someone older than you, or even if they're not older, if they're just doing something that makes you feel uncomfortable, like, call it out.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with guys or with like boys, they're going to try and hide that, or they're going to be bragging about it, like you said, to their friends, right? But I feel like with the girl, she's more likely to be like, this happened to me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like we need to protect our boys as well, because everyone should be allowed to be vulnerable. Everybody should be allowed to have like a safe space. Like, if you, like, I've seen girls like just grab guys' asses in a club or whatever, like, they feel no way. It's like, but what you're doing, if he had done that to you, do you know what I mean? If he had done that to you, you would be upset. Yeah, do you get what I mean? But I feel like those topics are not talked about, because the guys will just shrug it off, or they'll smile or whatever it is.
Exactly.
But really, don't do things to others that you don't want done. Do you know what I mean? It's just a basic principle.
No, it's mad. Mate, it's like, I just feel like in terms of society, I feel like it will get better. Because we've left our parents' societies, if that makes sense, and we've kind of gone into the society that we're trying to strive for equality, et cetera, et cetera. Like, in terms of, like, you work for HR and stuff, how many male HRs do you have?
Not that many. So in my team, let's say there's around... how many of us are there? Let's say there's 15 of us, and three of them are guys.
Oh.
Yeah, so in HR, it's one of those teams in an organization which is normally really women-led, and that's because most HR departments started out as like admin staff. Like, so a lot of the people who are in the HR are people who've kind of like been working at admin jobs since they were 16, and then they just kind of fell into HR and et cetera, et cetera. So actually there's still a lot of, like, there's a lot of old white women who are in quite senior positions just because they've been around for so long and know so many people. And not that they're not smart, I don't want to disregard them, but a lot of them, that's why it's so female focused. But now that HR is moving into that, the direction of like using data and analytics to make decisions for the organization, a lot more guys are coming into it. So what's happening is you've got a lot of women in the lower positions, and then as you go up, you've got bare men.
Okay.
So it's one of them ones where if you're a man in HR, you're seen as underrepresented. So actually, if you're a little bit smart, they'll kind of pull you up because there's so many women in the department, if that makes sense. Which I get. So it's like, you know, everyone has a role to play and everyone needs to use what they can to try and get to the top. But it's interesting that I think it's one of the few places where it's not, like, I don't feel like I've got like a massive barrier in order to like get promoted or succeed in the space of HR, because actually there's so many women.
Okay.
I only need to consider it as being a black woman.
Okay.
Because that's different. So it's that intersectionality of the fact that sometimes I can be treated differently and I have no idea if it's because I'm black or if it's because I'm a woman or if it's because of my class.
You're banning a lot of battles there. You're banning a lot there.
I would even add a fourth one, which is being a mum. I feel like sometimes there's so many invisible barriers, right? And you can explain them away, like, oh, I'm sure he didn't mean that. Or do you know what I mean? Like, someone could be like, oh, are you sure you're going to have time for this project? You know, you got the three kids kind of thing. And it's like, I'll be fine. Do you know what I mean? Or I remember one time I was in a call and someone was chatting crap. And I basically said in very English words that you're chatting crap. And then at the after the call, one of my colleagues came up to me and he was like, oh, you sounded really aggressive.
Oh, God, those trigger words.
She said, I was like, he's like, you sounded really aggressive on that call. I thought you were going to stab him or something. I was like, what? I was like, did you actually just say that to me? Like, you know the ones where you're actually in shock? Like, should I say something? Should I not?
Yeah.
Which angle am I even come at this at? Is he talking to me like this because he thinks I'm a woman and I'm not going to say anything? Or is he coming at it, you know, because I'm black? Like, I mean, of course, there was a lot of, you know, black trigger words there. But it's like the whole confidence that he had to even approach me with that. I feel like if a black man had been the one who was being direct to the point and actually calling out someone's crap, would he feel comfortable going up to that person to say that they've been aggressive? So again, it's like, I think for me, I'm going to be constantly second guessing myself, trying to understand at which point they're coming at it at. Because actually there's been cases where people have like tried to bring cases against employers and they have to state specifically whether they're trying to fight their argument from a racial perspective or from a gender perspective. And if it's both and you have to pick one, which one should I pick? Like, I can't change either. I can't change my race and I can't change my gender. Like, I have no choice but to be both of these things. And I think both of these things normally have an impact.
I suppose like I'm all for, like, I was reading something recently. I think people don't understand the difficulty black women because I feel like it's not like being looked at as a woman is one thing, but then the addition of being a black woman, we accept that women have not been given a fair dues as time evolved. Obviously there's a strive to get them closer to the men. But then there's the addition of being a black woman, and that's beyond even just a woman. Now you're fighting like racial prejudice issues, and as you said, you wouldn't even know what angle to even come at it as. Like, are you being sexist, or are you actually being racist, or are you being are you being a combination of both? Like,
exactly.
It's so strange in itself, because like, as I live in Denmark, and I've come across a lot more micro racism than I have done in my entire existence.
That's crazy.
And it's pretty crazy in the sense that it's pretty crazy in a sense that I don't suspect these people to be doing it because they're racist, if that makes sense. But it's so much that they've, like, Denmark's quite relatively new in terms of, like, multicultural and stuff. So, like, when I'm out and about, I remember when I first moved to Denmark and I met a fellow black person in the city, and he shouted, "Oi, N-word," at me. And I was like, it was so strange. I was like, in my circle of friends, that word can fly. It can fly about. But I was like, I don't know you, and I'm here with a lot of white people, and you're shouting the N-word. And it's such a strange thing in Denmark, because in terms of equality wise, like, the women are more driven, from my perspective, a lot more driven than the men in Denmark, a lot push further. And I've also noticed that it has an adverse effect on the men, which is quite strange.
In what way?
Like they're so, majority of the Danish men I know, I'm trying not to say all of them, majority of the Danish men I know, they're quite passive. They become quite passive and stuff. And it's hard to describe, but when I've come to think about it, because the culture in Danish, they're all very much driven, all very much focused. Women are very much focused, and they push to strive. Like, do you understand? I think they're probably more closer to, they're the first country to allow women to vote, for instance.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So they started off a lot earlier in terms of that push for equality and stuff. And so, like, when I think about it in itself, like, the women are so driven that they start family based. They think of family like secondary, if that makes sense. So they usually start having families like quite late into like their middle 30s majority time. Like, when I was telling people that my mum had me at 23, that sounded so strange to them. They was like, "What? 23?" And these people would be like in their late 20s now. They'll be like, "Oh no, like, do you understand?" So there's so many things that they want to accomplish before they have kids. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So like when it comes to like the men, for instance, the men are so passive that they're okay with moving at that woman's pace. Not that the woman can move at the man's pace, but I feel like there's some kind of, not imbalance, but it's had this adverse effect.
Because this is what I was telling you about the balancing of the energies, right? If that is likely to happen, because if a woman is like proper on it, then the only thing as a man you can do is kind of come down a bit, otherwise the whole thing will not work. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're both going ham, then there's nothing to keep that balance. It's interesting though. So interesting. Like, but it's funny that this narrative is pushed a lot, that if you have like kids early, that stops you from progressing. Yeah. Like, the narrative is pushed so much that I almost went into it with the literal opposite mentality of, I'm gonna get married, have my kids, and then I'm just gonna push. Yeah. You know what I mean? And when I look at the people who are at my level in terms of work-wise, none of them have kids. And I'm at the same level as you. So really, what did you gain? Like, you just, what I mean? How far did you go whilst I was off chilling on my maternity leaves? Like, you're still here. And I'm not saying that people should rush and do it, but actually for me, it's given me so much freedom, because there's people out here who are making a lot of money. And now the pressure is on them to try and find someone who's kind of on their level, because they're not at the stage where they can take a risk on someone and see if they'll make it and try and build something with them together. They're literally at the point now where it's like, I'm bringing this to the table, what the flip are you bringing to the table? Do you know what I mean? And so now it's like the kind of men and the kind of caliber that they're after, some of those people are already married or partnered off. The rest of them are still trying to focus on their career and don't want to get married till they're in their 40s. And now it's like, you're just, I don't know, like, for me, it just feels like such a painful experience watching it happen. And with me, I'm just like chilling. I'm just chilling. And my kids are all going to be in uni by the time I'm 45, and I'll still be young.
That's goal. What about if your kid don't want to go uni?
Yeah, exactly. Then obviously I'm cutting them off. No, I'm joking. Like, one of my kids already, I already know. Like, he is such a joker. Like, you'll be trying to teach him. Like, I was trying to teach him his alphabet, and I pointed at P, I said, what letter is this? And then he goes, 9. I was like, oh my gosh. And I pointed to a shape and I was like, what shape is this? It was a circle. And then he went blue. I was like, forget it. I was like, not today. I was like, as for you, I will never waste my money on private school because you're not about to mock me. You're not about to,
about to embarrass me. No, that's bad. Kids are funny. Like I got like Oliver. Oliver's at this stage now that when I'm putting him to bed and stuff, they know I'm forever bad cop. So Anne's good cop. So it's pretty crazy in the sense that when I'm putting him to bed, they know automatically how they should react. They need to put their head down and they just need to sleep.
Yeah.
And they know that if they have their mum, they just want to natter. And it gets to a point now, like one thing is that me and like I suppose I portray a lot of masculinity towards my boys, and I suppose that's kind of PTSD of how I'm kind of how I've kind of grown up. So I'm kind of like, I'm kind of like, yeah, you need to be tougher kind of thing.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah.
And stuff. And like when, like now, for instance, when I'm putting him to bed and Oliver will get up and goes, oh, I need to go pee. I was like, go pee. And I'll hear him in the bathroom goes, Mom. like he's in some kind of trouble. Like, Mom.
Kids
will bring out everything in you.
You know, honestly, it's like a mirror, right? You see yourself and you're just like, oh.
Exactly.
But I feel like as Ariana's watching me though, like I said, she's proper girly. Like I feel like she's the kind of girl who grew up and be like, oh, like I don't need to work. I can just marry a rich husband. Like she has that kind of vibe of like, you know, I just want to be a girl. I don't want to do too much. Yeah. But then when she sees me, because I work a lot, so I'll be like doing my normal job like 9 to 5, and then like even after that and on weekends I'll be doing my side hustles. So like most of the time when she sees me, unless I'm like playing with her and I'm like engaged and 100% present, I'm usually in front of my laptop or I'm on my phone or something. So now she's getting into the mood of, oh, I want a laptop, I want to learn how to type. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like sometimes you teach children by like what you do. So with me, I feel like even though she would want to be that girl who's just like chilling and not doing much, cooking and cleaning and doing all kinds of nonsense, I feel like because she's gonna grow up seeing me work and looking at my work ethic, that subconsciously that's gonna feed into her, and she's gonna grow up thinking, nah, I want to be financially stable. I never want to have to like completely depend on a man to the point that, you know, if he leaves me, I'm finished. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just hoping that kind of stuff rubs off. And also with the boys as well, I want them to see their dad like helping out in the kitchen, cleaning, like chilling with me, laughing, like knowing that there's other sides of being a man which are softer, which are nice, which are appreciated.
Definitely.
So that they can also pick up those qualities.
Definitely, because I feel like we mirror a lot of our environment. And like it's always good. Like when I think about it, like with my boys, I think I show a lot more affection, if that makes sense. Because I feel like I was talking to one of the boys about this, and they have such a funny approach. Like he made a comment that Oliver and Noah kissed each other when I was taking a picture, and he goes, "Oh, why are they doing that?" And I'm like, "Because they love each other." And he, like in his head, he's gone to a place that his head didn't need to go, in that stuff. And I was like, because when I was growing up, for instance, I would never push a doll pram, for instance, as a guy. But the older I am now that I have two boys, I push this pram when I'm taking them to school. So do you understand?
You have to.
Do you understand? I was like, why was this such an issue? Thinking about it when I was younger. And because it's kind of the wrong messages that we give kids in terms of you shouldn't like play with dolls, for instance. Dolls
and then when they have their own kids, then it's like, how do I even deal with this, you know?
And I feel like it's so strange because I was really fighting like this kind of mindset. I was like, but the issue that I had issues with growing up is what I'm kind of doing now because it's something that I kind of need to do. Do you understand? Exactly. And it's so strange how I think there's a lot of rewiring that needs to be done
Yeah,
in
but
yeah.
it's almost, is it, will it, you know, can it go too far? I mean, I completely get it and I
Yeah.
agree with everything you're saying, but like, I think the scary bit for me is like, you're not raising your kids by yourself. Like, there's certain things that you can teach them, but when they go to school, they're also learning, right? They're always like just picking up learning from everywhere. So, like, with my daughter, like I said, she's just a girly girl anyway. She really hasn't got time for boy stuff, but at her school, everything is super gender neutral, like down to the uniform. Like, if I was someone who was, you know, really didn't want like my boys to ever, you know, play with dolls or whatever, I wouldn't send them to that school because that school is like everyone can play with every, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just over the top gender neutral to a point. Do you know what I mean? But at home, they get in a completely different message because honestly, if my son picks up a dolly, yeah, all hell, like literally all hell breaks loose in this house. And I'm like, calm down, just let him play with his dolly. Like, do you know what I mean?
No,
All hell bloody breaks loose. I'm just like, it's not that deep, guys. It's not that deep, but
no.
you're not by yourself. I'm not going to be at home all the time. I'm not going to be able to, because you know, I've got some of my siblings in my house and some of them are not. Like, because like you said, the way that they've grown up is like, boys do this, girls do this. So there's just a lot of conditioning, and it's scary because either way, they're going to grow up to be who they're going to be. I think we can influence it a bit,
Yeah.
but really,
Will
like you said, you didn't push a pushchair before, but you're pushing one now. Like, these are life skills, and a lot of kids' toys are about life
This
skills.
is it.
So we need to
Yeah,
be
this yeah,
encouraging
no, this
all aspects, right?
yeah, this now this is fully it. Like I remember when we was thinking of buying Noah, not a doll, but like a teddy bear that looks like a doll kind of thing. I
Yeah.
was going like Anne knows me, so she automatically knew that I don't want to see like a white doll.
Yeah, 100. Oh God, nothing worse.
Jonathan, and like, and God forgive me, the Anne's white, but she actually has to understand where I'm coming from. That I don't want to see a
Yeah.
white doll. And two things, I've got like a black dog called Nils in the house for Noah and stuff. And he tries changing the diaper, and I help him change the diaper. And he reflects and said, "This is how you change my diaper." I'm thinking, yeah, because growing up, but my dad wouldn't even teach me that. Sometimes
Never.
my dad's teaching me, "Hey, go outside and play football, or go outside,
Yeah.
go and cause trouble somewhere." Just now, because
Yeah,
I believe that in their heads, the burden of who brings the kid home. If I go out and get a girl pregnant, I'm not the one bringing the kid home. So they have this kind of like, well, he's going to be a boy, so he's going to be a boy. If it was a girl, for instance, they'll say, ah, you're the one going to bring a girl home. You're the one going to bring a daughter home. So obviously, we don't want you acting all wild and stuff because we could deal with him, for instance, having a kid outside and stuff. So I feel like we have a lot of,
It's a lot
yeah,
of pressure
yeah.
and it's a lot of
There
expectations as
is.
well. And I think to your point, like around, I think even some women get this wrong, like they baby their partners or their husbands to the point where like I would hear some, you know, some, I was gonna say friends, but I don't wanna bait anyone else, like some people who will be like, oh, I don't wanna leave my baby alone with like just his dad, like he doesn't know how to change a diaper, like what if this happens? And I had a completely different mentality. Like after I had my kids, like literally the day on which I had my kids, it was like I do 4 hours on you, and then you know, after that, I'll have 4 hours off and you'll be on. Like, literally, it was shift. So it would be like, oh, but I've never changed a diaper before. And I was like, well, it's your kid. You'll figure it out. Like, I trust you. Like, you know, I'm sure you'll do a fine job. And then it's like, when I'm leaving the house, I'm not thinking, oh, he doesn't know how to do this. He doesn't know how to do that. At the end of the day, you're not going to kill your kid.
That's
It's
it.
your kid. You'll figure it out.
That's
He needs to eat. You'll feed him.
it.
He needs to get his, you'll change it.
No.
Like, because if you, once you do that, you're putting yourself into a hole where now you're the only one who can be with that. Like, I just find it so mind-boggling how people can get to the point where it's like they've created their own grave and then you're upset that you're depressed and you can't do
Yeah, I
nothing,
feel
but
like
you've,
yeah, I feel like it's so crazy in itself. Like I think me and you are the oldest in our family in that sense. So I think we've naturally got this elder mentality that we're used to taking care of someone little, for instance. And like so I understand that. Like for instance, I have a friend that's probably a single child, for instance. So probably when he or she tends to have kids, they'll probably find that whole struggle more
Yeah, it'll
fascinating.
be different.
Yeah, more fascinating.
That would, But how about you? Like, do you reckon in your relationship that you went into it thinking that, oh, I'm the man, so I do this and she'll do that?
You know what it is? I feel like when I went into this particular relationship, I had it in my head that like I had a dream in my head that, for instance, I've always wanted kids. Like I've always wanted kids young, early, and stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like most guys probably think this, but I can't say all guys think this, but I couldn't. I so bad to say it, but I couldn't care less about the baby mom as long as I had kids. Do
Yeah,
you understand?
I'm not the first to say. I remember we're in Manchester, and a couple of people, one of them who is now married, was like, I'm not going to marry anyone unless they're pregnant with my kid because I want to make sure that they can have babies. But when it came down to
It
it,
changed.
she hasn't had.
It
It's changed, though.
changed. It has to change. That's a joke. And Tutu is that person. I can't remember him saying that. And I said,
Yeah, can you?
everyone remembers that conversation. I was like, that's wild. That's wild. That's wild.
I would never forget that conversation because I just remember being like, "Are you okay?"
No, I remember that conversation because I was like, what? Man, like, but I feel like, so like, yeah, in terms of me, like when I entered it, I was like, oh, obviously I like the person I'm with and stuff, but I'm not like, one, for instance, do not think too far ahead of anything. I don't think 5 years ahead. Maybe I should, but I don't think 10 years ahead and stuff. So I was just thinking, in this moment, I'm relatively happy and stuff. And I go through my head of in a particular time that I was like, this is the kind of person I would want to have my kids with, if that makes sense. Like, and I think that that's kind of what I imagined. So what I imagined is what actually came, because I wanted to be with this person, and I imagined that what do or die, if me and my partner split, I will never have kids again. That's
Yeah, because that's yeah.
the mentality I have with that. I don't like, if we split, I would never have kids again. And that's like, when I tell some people, they're like, that's so sad. Like, who wants to,
Why is that
yeah, I was
sad?
like,
Why?
it's a bizarre
It's a clever, I feel like it's a clever choice, and I support you in that because the drama that comes with that and your attention being divided and whatever, like it just, I get it, like 100% get it. But I guess in terms of the like cooking and cleaning and ironing and all that stuff, did you go into this relationship with the mentality that you would expect like your partner to be picking up all of those
No,
feminine type activities?
luckily, my mom was a single mom. So when she, so when I grew up in a household that my mom was single mom, so I became the man of the house, if that makes sense, quite young. So the ironing and the cooking and the things kind of bestowed onto kind of myself at certain times. So like when I go into a relationship, I don't go into it in a very expectations of what I believe that she should do, or do you understand? But like, I suppose, like when I had kids, for instance, I think that's where my expectations, because I suppose I've had a mother, so I've seen what my mother done, do you understand? And I suppose I had a dad, I have a dad, and I've seen what he does as well. So that kind of reflects on kind of like how I think, in terms of like, my mom was very strong, so I expect my partner to be very masculine. But my partner's not masculine, unfortunately. She's very feminist, very soft. She don't like when I call her soft and stuff, but it's needed in a sense that, because I'm very much a PTSD, so I'm living off this. I need to be the tough one in that sense. So I suppose it works for me. But I didn't have any expectation. Like, as I said, like when I wanted, like I wanted kids young. So if I had my kids young and it didn't work with the person I had my kids with, then so be it. It wouldn't reflect. I wouldn't care, because I wanted my kids was most important to me, if that makes sense, in relationship.
That's crazy. So do you feel like as a partner and as a dad, you do any type of feminine stuff? Like, do you help with the cooking or the cleaning
Yes,
or all
I
of
cooked today. I made some pounded yam and some egusi.
No way.
I'll send you some pictures. I'll send you some pictures. Because you know what it is, and what's kind of, I suppose this is kind of like the thing with being in an interracial relationship as well, is that I want my kids to have a cultural upbringing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. There's certain things I need to be done that I know she can't do, for instance. Like the just little things like the African cooking, the African music, she's not gonna go out of her way, so there's certain things I know that needs to be done. So like in respect that I do cook sometimes, make some African food, not all the time, because I don't eat African food all the time. But when I want African food, I'll cook African food and we all eat it, kind of thing. So and these are kind of things that I want my kids to have, so they need to understand that they're not just mixed race, they're also very much African as well as they are Danish.
But I like what you said there around the like when you know something needs to be done, you do it. Because I think there's a lot of guys who'll be like, yeah, I want this done, and then it's like they put that expectation on their partner, as opposed to being like, okay, this needs to be done, maybe like this isn't her strength, so I'm gonna pick it up and do it. I feel like that's what's needed more in relationships, just understanding like where the strengths lie, instead of being like, oh no, this should be your job. It should just always be that constant communication and assessing of who's best to do it. Do you get what I mean?
And as you said, like, not all the time you can be there. So that, go back to the idea of God being just masculine is kind of lazy. And if we're meant to be the likeness of God, we're meant to kind of portray these two attributes.
That is deep.
This is what I've learned recently. It's not something I've always kind of thought of in terms of, because when you're growing up, and as you said, when you go into these churches and you predominantly go to these African churches, they're not really giving you what's under the hood. They've really just given you the surface area of kind of their teaching.
Exactly.
Then they mix that teacher of their bit of culture. And in a sense, the African culture is like, it is kind of like male dominated culture.
That's all it is. It's all about, I just feel like the way that they suppress women is just, it actually disgusts me. It's actually upsetting to me, the kinds of things that people go through, even like the abuse that some Christian women go through from their husbands, like literal beatings. Like you're not on my private. Did I put on my private? Yeah, on Insta basically. I posted a story where it's like, when I was living in Ghana, there was a girl who was in an abusive relationship. They were both going to the Bible school, right? And he was literally beating her up. And I literally had to take her into my house. I had to call the police on the guy. I was doing all of this madness and she was still trying to go back to him. And I had to sit her down. I was like, you will die. He will kill you if you stay in this relationship. And thankfully, she actually completely cut off. She listened to me. Now she's happily married and like pregnant at the moment. But she sent me a message yesterday saying, thank you so much for saving my life. My friend, who was also going to the Bible school, just died because of her abusive partner.
Mad.
He beat her to death. And I was like, great. Like, I was like, so happy. I'm happy that I was able to help you, but there's so many other people out there who were suffering because of this mentality that, oh, he is the man. Oh, sometimes he'll get angry. That's just men. Sometimes he'll sleep around. That's just men. Like, I feel like there's so many excuses for, oh, you know, that's how men are. That's how men are. And it's not good enough.
No,
we need to get away from that now.
Definitely. Like, I'm just touching back on the African mindset in terms of, like, our people don't do well. Don't do divorcing. They actually don't. It's like a taboo thing.
It's shame, isn't it? I feel like more and more, I think it is. It's coming down now. Like, I feel like people are like, no, this is unhealthy. Yeah. I need to leave. But you're right. Like, historically, like, people just don't want to leave. Like, till death, literally, they'll just sit there.
And it's so strange because, like, my mom is divorced, for instance, and she got divorced like 19 years ago. And at the time that she, like I was 11 at the time, so at the time that she was getting divorced, it was so strange for her because her whole family was kind of like, you know, it's so strange as well because in the African, like, just talking about mom, forgive me for this, but like when she was marrying my dad, for instance, no one in the family liked her. No one in the family liked him, for instance. And so, but when she was divorcing him, everyone's kind of like, ah, why? Do you understand? So it's kind of like a madness in that aspect, that the African mindset is like, ah, listen, you vow, and I get that divorce is the last solution, but it's not like, it shouldn't be seen as something that you shouldn't do, because sometimes people definitely need to be divorced.
100%. But I feel like there needs to be a middle ground though, because I think back in the day they weren't divorcing at all, and I think now he doesn't like your haircut, you get divorced. Like, it literally, I feel like we're swinging between two extremes. I feel like we need to get back to that point where we realize that, look, if you've made a commitment to each other, like, try, do you know what I mean? Especially when it's not like a life and death situation. Yeah. Obviously, there's some really big things like finances, like he's had like kids outside of the marriage. Like, there's loads of things where it's like, yes, definitely you might want to consider it. But I feel like this generation is getting super emotional and super touchy about everything. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? To the point where it's like a little thing isn't working, you're like, nah, I can't do this anymore.
It's crazy.
I'm not living my best life anymore.
I need to go Afro Nation or something.
Yeah.
like it's some madness. Like in Denmark, yeah. I learned recently that people can get divorced electronically now.
That's mad.
You can send an email.
So what's the point then? Why did you even bother getting married? Like, honestly, what's the point? Like, what is the point? But anyway, that's a whole other podcast.
I'm thinking, what? I could just send an email and I'm divorced. Oh, yeah. it's a madness completely on that front. But now, so on the final part of this, I've been told that this question, like, this question is pretty, it's not fair to ask, but what gender has it worse in this day, modern day society?
What are you talking about? It's women. Like, that's just,
I'm a listen. So why is it women?
What do you mean, why? Like, honestly, we are still in this day and age trying to even just get similar wages. Like, that's how far, like, it's not even been that long since we were allowed to vote. Like, we are so far away from where we need to be in every way, in every single way, socially, politically, economically. We're just behind. Then on top of that, we've got the added pressure of being expected to have a career, manage a relationship, manage kids, manage side, like, it's like there's so much weight on our shoulders, like, we can't rest. If we say that, oh, we're just going to do what's traditionally expected and just be a stay-at-home mom and look after the house, then we'll still have women judging us, like, what the flip are you doing? Why don't you have your own job? Why don't you have your own money? Do you know what I mean? If you have your own money and you're doing great things, you managed to buy a house by yourself, you're doing great, everyone would be like, so where's your husband? Oh, do you think life is just about money? Why don't you have any kids? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's never a time for us to breathe. There's never time. But for guys, if he's out there making money, he's like, yes, look at him, he's doing so well. I mean, you have a comment here and there about, oh, why don't you marry my daughter? But apart from that, it's not daily constant pressure. Do you get what I mean? And then when you have the family at home and stuff, it's like, yeah, you can, when you help, it's like, oh, thank you so much for helping me out with the kids. Like he deserves a prize. They're his children.
Okay, I hear you loud and clear. You've squashed that. But you know what I'm saying is that, what I'm saying is, guys, okay, hands down, the focus of the podcast, women does have it. They do have it a lot worse than guys. But guys, in our defense, we have it bad too. Maybe not as, like, in terms of, because you know what guys are, how do I put it? Like, for instance, if you have an ex, for instance, Jensen,
No.
you have like everyone has an ex, Jensen. A woman, everyone has an
Yeah,
ex,
yeah.
but the guy that you're with suffers from what that ex might have done to you.
Really?
Because women.
So what do you feel like you have not suffered based on what your exes did to you? And like, do you feel like you don't pass any of that on in your relationship? I think that
I
goes
think it
both
does, but
ways.
I feel like it does go both ways, but I feel like, again, this is my feelings, so this is nothing factual, but I feel like when if a girl's been done bad in her previous shit,
Yeah.
then the gravity of her next relationship, I feel like the guy is just stressed out because he's having to rewire her because of the PTSDs of the trauma that she's gone through in her previous relationship. So she, if she has trust issues in her previous relationship, she's going
Yeah, bring that into
to.
this one. I get that, but at the same time, I feel like a lot of guys have trust issues, like worse than
Oh.
girls, but they mask it under other, do you know what I mean? Like they just mask, they mask it. Whereas a girl who is operating in her feminine energy might be a bit more emotional about it and be like, oh, like I don't know, do you know what I mean? Like really moany, really annoying about previous relationships that they've been in. But if they're operating from their masculine energy, it'd be like, look, people are crap in general. Let me not let this impact my whole life. Do you get what I
No,
mean? So I feel like with me, there's some things where I have to be like, nah, it's not every day. Like you really can't come and kill yourself over something that someone has done to you, because to be honest, everyone is crap. Like I feel like I know more women who have cheated on their spouses than men. Like, but they're smarter about
Ooh.
it. Do you know what I mean? So they may, like, you may be lying next to someone not knowing what the flip is going on,
True.
because they're not gonna forget to delete texts and, you know, like
True.
stupid stuff that guys get caught
True.
on. Like, we just don't get caught on that stuff. Like, so I don't know. I get your point if they're operating in that feminine stuff, and also maybe they're trying to emotionally blackmail you into not doing the same thing. But I feel like men and women equally evil. I think
Okay.
that women can weaponize their tears to get what they want.
Facts. That's facts. That's fact. While guys refuse to tear up because of what
Exactly.
society has done to us to make sure we don't tear up. So I hear
Exactly.
you. I hear you.
Yeah, I can't imagine a guy being like, oh, my girl cheated on me and now I
What
can't
would you
trust you. No,
do?
they're never gonna
What would you
admit
do?
that.
What would
They're
you do
never
if
gonna
you got?
but how many guys have been cheated? How many guys have been cheated on? Come on. All the time. That's a joke.
What would you do if a guy starts tearing up when you was
Can you
just
imagine?
not
Embarrassing.
stop?
See, yeah, this is where the gender roles come to play, right? It's accepted when a girl does it, yeah. But if a guy does, you'd be like, but why? Why are you actually crying? Like, man up. And I feel like that's what I do for myself. Like, I can start crying, look in the mirror, and I actually get angry. Like, what the flip are you doing? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really not that deep. It's really not that deep. Like, sometimes you just have to pat in yourself. And I feel that's why women have to feel empowered to also tap into their masculine energy. It's not all the time crying. Like, sometimes just move on. Do you know what I mean? Because you're only hurting yourself in the
True.
long run. Like, it's very unattractive. Like, constantly worried, constantly crying, constantly scared. Like, it's like just, I get you've been through stuff, but it gets to a point where you just have to be
Move
like,
on now. I hear
yeah, honestly,
I hear you.
for real.
But now, Hannah, it's been a movie. We've got some other podcasts that we're gonna obviously discuss and stuff. We've got some toxic ones. Well, I won't call it toxic, to be honest. I'll just call it like just the reality of what is really like. Sometimes women do things that men do, and probably even more to the point that it's like men and stuff. Yeah, we're gonna touch on that next and stuff. I'm looking to try getting. So if you have any, I won't call them toxic females, but if you have any females that you want to bring onto the podcast as well, and you're more than welcome to
Yeah,
do. Okay,
I will definitely.
and stuff. But it's been a pleasure, and I've learned something. Obviously, that women PTSD and men's PTSD is same. We both go through that as well. So, which is good to know, because I just find it like maybe I just didn't really think that women go through it like men, but clearly they do. with trust issues and stuff. So I want that.
Because honestly, like with you, have you ever been cheated on? Or
I would, like you see, with me, I wouldn't know. And like the not knowing doesn't, what I don't know can't hurt me.
It doesn't affect you then. Exactly. Yeah,
but like, you know, like just touching on the cheating thing, I feel like you are right that men, I feel like we'll change it, like the type of socks we wear once we start beginning doing these hanky pankies, or something just changes in us. I don't know what it is, but I think we just, it's the ego in us, isn't it? While women are, like, I know, like, actually, what we need to talk about actually before we even end this is men, I think, like, we, men and women, genders, do it for two different reasons, if that makes sense. Majority, not all the time, but the majority of the time, I feel like it's two different reasons why one cheats and the other doesn't. Like, men could cheat and not feel two ways about it. Do you understand? But I feel like if a woman does it, it's
100%.
Yeah, I think this is another podcast. But I feel like there's something on that in it when a woman does it. But we'll definitely discuss this. Let's touch that. And another one. To be continued. But now, Hannah, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Oh, I've missed hearing your voice, Elliot. It's been a while,
Miss Smith. Yeah. I missed you too, actually. When was the last time we was on Zoom?
So funny. You were going to reveal something to the group drunk. And then Eugene stopped you. But on another podcast day.
Thank God for that. On another podcast.
I've really enjoyed being here and I love your podcast. But
thanks again.
All right, then.
Thank you very much, Hannah. Much appreciated. Cheerios. Oh, hold on. Do you do any form of
work? I do career coaching. So if anyone is out of a job and needs some support with like mock interviews, CVs, cover letters, etc., then holla. It's sewa.smith on Instagram, so you can just DM me.
Sweet. I would add you. Your Insta stuff to the notes, right, anyway.
Thank you.
Insta. But yeah, thanks again, Hannah. Much appreciated.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed the episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on my Instagram page at est.1988. Thanks again, and I'll see you all next time.